Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listening to Total Information AM with Debbie Monterey, I'm Megan Lynch. And this week, we're looking back on the Missouri legislative session, looking ahead also to what lawmakers think are future priorities. And in studio this morning, we welcome Representative Peter Meredith, a Democrat representing St. Louis City. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being with us. You know, I'm always curious, what do lawmakers do when they finally get that break? You've had, what, about 3 weeks since the session ended?
Well, it's different for all of us, but I'll tell you, I'm pretty much a full-time dad right at the moment. You might see my two kids over there in the other studio with me, taking them to camps and soccer games and Six Flags and City Museum and all the things.
Well, that sounds perfect.
It's a lovely change of pace.
Yeah. Well, we often cover Jefferson City news with all of the stuff that's not happening or the contentious. So let's start with talking about some of the things that did happen, maybe some positive notes from this last legislative session.
I love that question. You know, so often we hear about the headlines of the divisive fights and the really partisan, ugly battles. Those are what go viral, you know. But this year, and much like last year, the vast majority of the things that passed the House were surprisingly bipartisan and good and really non-controversial. I will say they had opposition from Republicans, actually, but unanimous Democrats for most of these bills and a good number of moderate Republicans. And we were able to pass some good things. Things like helping with the cliff effect of benefits, where if you get a small raise but you're on benefits, you don't lose your benefits that are worth more than the raise. That was, you know, disincentivizing people from working. That's something we've been pushing for a decade. Our minority leader came in with it as her top priority 7 years ago, and we finally got it done this year. Or expanding early childhood education. This is a huge, huge win this year, and it was one of the things the governor wanted to get done. We put money in the budget and passed a bill to make it so that all low-income kids in our state will have access to early childhood education. That's an amazing win that we haven't heard a lot about. You know, there are a bunch of things like postpartum care, a sort of expansion of Medicaid coverage that, again, Democrats have been working on for years to make it so new moms stay on Medicaid for a year, which can really help with both our workforce issues, but also just our maternal mortality rate has been terrible in the state, especially for Black women. And for low-income folks, being able to stay on Medicaid for that year is going to make a big, big, big difference. So I could go on and on, especially in the budget. A ton of good things we got in the budget. Even a $20-plus million, hopefully, for a new public safety access point in St. Louis City right here, or a $3 million for the St. Louis Symphony. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. A big expansion of I-70 across the state. So I honestly walked away, despite some really ugly days and ugly fights over things that were really upsetting, with mostly feeling like this session was a success.
I don't want to diminish your comments about the early education. But I do want to look at that amount. I mean, $135 million is a significant amount, but yet this is one of those issues that families have been saying is absolutely critical. During the pandemic, there were so many issues with childcare and early childhood education. You know, is it enough? And, you know, what do we need to look at moving forward for this issue for families?
Well, you know, I will tell you, I fought to double it, actually, and had some bipartisan agreement on that idea, making it so it wasn't just low-income kids we were making sure there's early childhood education for. But I think this is a good start. And the hope is that local districts will be able to come up with the rest to make sure that all kids actually have access to early childhood education. But the other part of this coin was childcare. And we didn't get across the finish line some childcare tax credits that were bipartisan and I thought had a chance. But we did get a significant increase in the subsidy level. Because of inflation and change in costs the last couple of years, our subsidies haven't grown. And what that's meant is we pay around 20% as a state of the actual cost of childhood or of childcare. When we're only paying 20%, providers can't afford to provide it. Well, we increased it back to 58%, which is where we were a couple of years ago. It's still too low. I pushed for 75%. That's where the federal target is. But it's a big, big, big improvement from where we are today. Now, hopefully, I should caveat all of this conversation. The governor still has a chance to veto anything in the budget or any of these bills. I'm really hopeful the ones we're talking about right now are good to go. They seem to have his support in the process. But it is possible that if he changes his mind or finds a problem with something, he may end up vetoing some of this. So I don't want to, none of it's set in stone.
There were gatherings all over the country, including here in Missouri and in St. Louis, where people wearing orange yesterday to draw attention to gun violence and encourage gun safety. You were the author of a number of bills in this last legislative session. Yeah. The polls will show that the vast majority of people support common sense gun legislation. None of that got anywhere in the legislature.
No, it really didn't even move. And I would say this is one of the biggest failures of the session this year and the last few years. You know, we keep seeing things get pushed the other direction with guns, whether it's the Second Amendment Preservation Act, they called it a couple years ago, that would literally penalize police officers and make it illegal for them to enforce actual gun laws or work with federal agents on gun violence, or the bill that got rid of permit requirements to carry. And those things have really made our communities less safe. I had some hope that maybe this year we would see some movement in the other direction, like a red flag law that would be bipartisan, that it's what Republican states have passed. That's one of the things I tried to file. Or even just making it so that you have to be 18 to buy or carry a gun. Amazingly, in our state, when they got rid of the permit requirement, they also got rid of the age requirement, which makes it really hard for police to deal with kids running around on the streets with guns. So we had some conversation about it. But ultimately, once these things came to votes, and we did force it with amendments on the floor, we didn't get a single Republican to vote for these things. Like you said, common sense things that the vast majority of Missourians support, but they are infused with so much partisan furor. And Republicans are worried about their next primary or their next office they're trying to run for, and they're afraid to vote for anything that has any common sense about guns. And it's a real shame. It's making us all less safe every day.
Let's talk about legalized sports betting. We heard so much about this, but yet
For years.
I understand that one of the big arguments is that, oh, we're behind what other states are doing. But yet when you look at the polling, it's really only younger Missourians that are fully in support of this. Other Missourians don't seem to care that much or back it that much. You know, is it really about what Missourians want, or is this more about sports teams and gaming interests?
I mean, I think it's mostly about money, to be honest. I mean, it's betting. Of course it's about money. I will say, I think it's inevitable that it's going to happen. We're one of the last states to do this now. And folks are generally already doing it. And they're finding illegal ways to do it. It would be better if we had a regulated market and could also bring in the revenue associated with it like other states are doing. But I also understand a lot of folks have good reason for caution. You know, we're taking the most regulated illegal form of gambling because it's maybe the most dangerous. And it's leapfrogging all other gambling without even a vote of the people, which every other gambling expansion in our state has always had to go to vote of the people, and would make it completely illegal even on your phones from your couch. And there are families that are going to be hurt by that. And like I said, I understand it's kind of already happening anyway, and I'd rather it be regulated. But I also get some resistance to it.
One other positive thing in the eyes of a lot of people, something that was done away with years ago is back, I understand, the tax incentives for the film and music industry.
Yeah.
There's so many things that take place in Missouri that never are filmed here because we don't have those tax credits.
Yeah, that's another great bipartisan thing that's passed. We've been talking about it since my first year in office 7 years ago, that when Missouri lost that, we lost that industry in a lot of ways. And the couple of states that have those are really thriving with their film industries. So we have films and TV shows that have been shot about Missouri, and they're based in Missouri, and yet they weren't shot here. And our hope is that we're going to see some growth in that industry. Now, I will tell you, I think that we're shooting ourselves in the foot a little bit with some of the anti-LGBT bills that we're passing. Because there's still going to be a lot of folks that just don't want to come to Missouri when we don't seem like a welcoming state. But I think from a dollars and cents perspective, we're going to see a return on investment here, and it'll help with our economy.
As we wrap up here, what is maybe your first and second legislative priority as we look ahead to the next session?
You know, I always have to say gun violence. That is the biggest problem we face here in St. Louis City. And there are a lot of things we could do about that that are not just those common sense gun laws we talked about, but also investments in things like after school programs, investments in some of the things that would address the root causes of gun violence. Mental health is another one. Our Department of Mental Health is severely short-staffed and underpaid, and they continue to be. And so we've got a shortage. It's like a year wait in some cases to get a bed. That has to be a priority, especially while we have a surplus. We need to be putting that money into things like that. Also, paying teachers more. Same problem. We've got a teacher shortage. They're not paid enough. We've got lowest paid teachers in the country. We have to do something significant on those fronts.
Peter, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure.
And your thanks. Girls were perfect.
They were lovely. Thank you.
That is State Representative Peter Meredith of South St. Louis joining us here on KMOX. It was another big win for St. Louis City SC. Head coach Bradley Carnell will be joining Tom Ackerman next. It's 9:30.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.